Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Perfect Franchise Podcast. My name is Chris Simonich. My co-host is Andrea Floyd. And today, our guest is Eric Martin, Vice President of Development for Happiness Brands. Eric, welcome.
Thank you, Chris and Andrea. It's great to be here with you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Man, got it. Now, we're excited to talk to you. So, Eric, let's start at the beginning. You're Vice President of Development for Happiness Brands. What is Happiness Brands? And tell us a story.
Sure. So I joined Lawn Doctor. It's hard to talk about Happiness Brands without talking about Lawn Doctor, because that's kind of where everything started. So as you know, Chris, we go back a bit. I've been franchising myself now for almost 15 years and have been mainly in the services space, home services. I spent some time in the senior home care services industry as well. So what I've learned and what I've grown up with are home services. And the chairman of Lawn Doctor, now Happiness Brand, Scott Frith, and I have known each other for years. And it's a great brand, Lawn Doctor. Legacy brand, over 50 years of experience, one of the top home service brands in the country, had done very well. And my predecessor had moved on to start his own company. Scott reached out and said, Eric, we got a good thing going on here with Lawn Doctor. We're sitting at around 500 locations. We want to continue to grow this great brand around the country, but I've got a vision. I want to create a platform, something that I'm not sure what the name's going to be, but I really want to identify strong emerging home service brands that could utilize the infrastructure, the systems, the knowledge that we've built over many, many decades of Lawn Doctor and help accelerate the growth of those brands. We've got so many things at our disposal, from a sales center doing sales for owners, centralized media to drive activity and leads for franchise owners, a back office support system, centralized benefits and insurance. We've got all these great things. We can help other brands that may be looking to grow and be a bit underfunded or undergunned and couldn't maybe take that next step and become someday a Lawn Doctor type brand, iconic. I want to help other brands do that. Now, I don't know what that's going to look like, but would you like to come on board and help me with this and work with our team to develop this strategy and grow it? And I said, you know, that sounds like an amazing opportunity. And I took the leap. And it's the best thing I ever did. It's amazing what's happened now over the last 7 years that I've been with Happiness Brands. We actually rolled that out in 2018. And you're aware of this, Chris, kind of from a different perspective. We acquired our very first brand in Mosquito Hunters that became a part of Happiness. And we'll talk more about the individual brands, but Happiness is a platform. What we really are is a centralized system where we have an incredible leadership team with nearly now our entire team. I just did the math on this, guys. 3,000 collective years of experience across Happiness Brands, leadership, support, coaches. We have a lot of value we can bring to franchise owners, but also to leaders of emerging brands that want to build an iconic brand, but not quite sure how to get there, might come to us with 2, 3, 4, 5 locations and say, hey, we want our business to look more like Lawn Doctor someday. Can you help us do that? So Happiness is the mothership. And we identify passionate founders who want to build iconic brands and plug into our system and utilize those resources we have, but maintain that identity. They're the CEO, the founder, they have their own nucleus and team, and they work together with our team to help their brand grow and thrive. So that's really what Happiness can bring to the table, our resources, experience, a vast amount of infrastructure to help these brands that don't quite know how to grow and get there, become that iconic brand someday.
So Eric, that all sounds amazing. And I think the ability to sort of bring those teams together and really leverage that leadership. And I think it makes sense as a franchisor to join a system like that and be able to leverage that. Where are the advantages for the franchisees? What do they get as being part of the Happiness brand that gives you an advantage?
You know, and that's a really good question, because there are so many things. We try to communicate that early on to a candidate. And when you start a business, it's a big undertaking, obviously. There's a lot of moving parts, as we all know, being in franchising collectively for years. You've got to worry about things like, first of all, how am I going to deliver this service? What kind of team do I need? What system do I need to set up a customer to properly give a quote, to onboard them, to ensure that they're getting what they need? how do I drive activity, additional lead flow? How do I handle sales when they come in quickly, whether it's a call or a lead form? Can I provide benefits to my employees, for my family? These are all things people are thinking about. Widget aside, that's really the last thing you're thinking about when you're looking at a franchise model. It's what are the attributes of this business? What's my relationship to my customer? How do I service them? How do I grow that relationship? How do I retain them and continue to build revenue? These are all things we think about at Happiness. So when we talk about removing off the plate of an owner what we can, things like lead generation, we centralize it. Initial sales, we centralize it. We want to free up our franchise owner, give them what we call an unfair advantage to focus on their customers. That's why people get into business, is to build a local business, continuity, customer base, cash flow, retain customers, build a brand. But there's so many things that have to happen behind the scenes to make that go and continue to go. We're going to remove a lot of things off of the plate from a franchisee that take effort, time. I'll give you one example, Andrea. Things like pay-per-click. You got to bid on keywords. And when you're in seasonal businesses, you got to do it at the right time to get the most opportunity and convert that very quickly in this speed to lead world that's dominated by Amazon and Uber. People expect immediacy. And the real issue or trouble for a local small business person is trying to be that to everyone. I'm trying to get everybody I can on board. I'm trying to take care of the customers that paid me yesterday, give them a great experience. Something's got to give or it's going to break. So what we've created is a system that frees up owners to really, truly focus on the local aspects, whether it's customer relationships or ground game. That's where we want to give them that opportunity. Take care of the back office, take care of the media, the initial sales, so they can focus there. So I think that's really where an owner in our model benefits and has that advantage.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, being able to, bring that in-house and leverage all those same systems for regardless of the brand, and especially with the brands that overlap a little bit from, you know, have similar characteristics, it really makes sense to really support your franchisees that way.
I agree. And home services, Chris and Andrew, you know this. It's not sexy. It's one of those circular trends that, you know, every year we grow. Every year there's a demand and a need for home services. I'd love to talk about that a little bit, the why behind that. But truly, as a franchise owner, people don't care that you're a local, small startup franchise. They expect a service and they want it now and they want a good experience and they want it done. And we give our owners the opportunity to really show as a larger company because they have these resources and this power of Happiness behind the brand that they're a part of. So it is a truly a big advantage for an owner, and they're coming into more of an emerging brand that has white space. And that is key to this. You want to get a good territory. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. I've got all these resources of a larger scale brand, but I get that prime territory and get to kind of grow up with this company. So unique proposition.
Yeah, definitely.
Eric, you said you'd like to talk about it. So let's keep rolling with this. Why home services?
Sure.
I mean, you know, let me put it this way. I know at The Perfect Franchise, we say we love boring businesses. But a lot of times when folks are just starting to look at franchises, they don't know why they should love boring businesses. And as you mentioned, home services, not always the sexiest thing, right? It's not glamorous. Right. So why should those folks maybe take the time to try to think about things a little bit differently?
Well, I think as a prospective franchise owner, first and foremost, you need to score attributes of a business and not get so caught up in shopping for a franchise like a consumer. Ooh, I like that service. Ooh, I like that store. I like shopping there. I like that food that they offer there. That's shopping like a consumer. What we like doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the right fit as a business for us. So what I always encourage people to do early is look at a business and its attributes. What's the investment? Typically, home services are a bit of a lower startup investment because they don't require the build out or the bricks and mortar or a ton of inventory. So the costs are lower, which if you're looking for a certain type of investment, call it somewhere that 100, maybe 150,000 range, you're probably going to start to look at service type businesses that are a bit more of a mobile storefront, number one. So you look at the investment. Then from there, you look at the role of the owner. Okay, what do I do day to day? What's my relationship to my staff? What type of staff do I need? What's my relationship to the customer? How am I involved in that process? And then you start to look at the scalability. And from there, the predictability. Is this a circular trend? Is this something that's showing growth year over year? Can I see this being fruitful for me in 5, 10, 15 years from now? Or is this more of a fad? Is this something that's going to come, maybe go, not established, kind of setting a new trend? We like having these predictable, scalable businesses. And then finally from there, what is my life going to look like? Does my life fit into this business, or do I have to find a way to fit my life into it? That's a very different proposition, right? We all understand that. So looking at a business that way to start, why home services? First of all, it's a $600 billion industry. That's what it's valued at. And it's growing exponentially. So when you start to look at the world we're in, we call it the do-it-for-me society. You've got baby boomers on one side. There's nearly 80 million of them. And you've got millennials on the other side. Nearly 90 million of those. Okay, we call it the can't do it and the don't want to do it society that we live in. For various reasons, people are outsourcing their home services. Whether it's a time issue, it's I want to spend more time with friends and family, it's whatever the reason may be, people delegate these services out. They don't want to do them. So when you talk about boring, unsexy, those are sometimes the best businesses to get into, because as a business owner, you're not successful unless you're providing a solution to a problem, to an issue. And that's what we're fulfilling for a customer. Whether they're a homeowner or a small business, a baby boomer or a millennial, it is an outsourced society. And that's where we fit in. From there, it's a wildly fragmented space. You guys know this, right? Like, home services are still to this day predominantly mom and pop. And the franchising world has stepped into it and brought a layer of sophistication. We talk about this being kind of a blue collar space, but running it in a very white glove, white collar way. You're attracting a well-capitalized professional entrepreneur that wants to build an empire and scale it, build a team, delegate, grow something meaningful for themselves and their family and their community. That's a lot different than someone who maybe just had an idea, started up a business on their own and is trying to make a go of it, with very little support and no backing and no other owners in their network to talk to and bounce ideas off of. So that's where we have the advantage in franchising, is leveraging the experience, the economies of scale, the structure, all the things that we talked about earlier with media and sales processes. We can really, and I respect small business and independent business owners, very, very hard for them today to compete with that immediacy, that speed to lead, that process that we can bring to the table as a franchisor. So it's a combination, Chris and Andrea, of many things. It's a huge opportunity. It's a growing space. It's a do-it-for-me society. And it's a fragmented industry with a lot of smaller individual players that really can't today compete with the larger scale brands like a Happy Nest. So we see a great opportunity. Beyond that, home formation is expected to double in this country in the next 10 years. And that's a direct result of millennials moving up, moving on, moving out, starting their families. And we know for certain, all of us, I have one, Chris, I know you do. Millennials, they're going to outsource it. They value their time, they value their experience, and they're more than willing to spend disproportionately to their income level in many cases to have stuff done for them. I don't want to do my lawn. I don't want to clean the home. I don't want to spray for bugs. I don't want to clean my windows. I want it done for me. Here you go. Make it good. And then we're in a good spot here. And that's really the world that we're in.
Yeah. Well, for the record, I'm not a baby boomer nor a millennial, and I still spend disproportionately as well. I'm not doing it either. But you know, you brought up something really great answer there. You brought up something really interesting. You talked about, you know, the business fitting into your life instead of fitting your life into the business. And that kind of touches on the idea of quality of life, right? And that's a concern for any aspiring entrepreneur. They're looking at a business oftentimes for the first time. They're breaking away from corporate America. So it's a big change, and they're oftentimes doing it because they want a better, eventually, a better quality of life, right? I think one of the universal concerns for folks always, but especially now, is labor, right? How hard is it to hire folks? So what are your perspectives on that in general? And then following up to that, how does Happiness help their franchisees find and retain good labor?
Sure. Well, first of all, it's never easy. as we know in business, that's always a challenge, is finding good talent and maintaining it. And as a platform company, we've put a lot of focus and resources into recruitment, various systems to help identify employees that we know are a good fit for our brands using, you know, various tactics. We don't have to go deep into that, but we want to help our owners, first of all, identify, have a platform to help a candidate applying for a job move through that process expeditiously. It is speed to lead. We're all competing for good employees, right? So we understand that we're competing with Starbucks, we're competing with Target, just like every other small business for talent. So first and foremost, we want a good experience and have a platform where someone can respond quickly, go through that interview process. We brought on some really cool new technology involving video and just moving this process quicker for a franchise owner. Beyond that, having resources like a centralized benefits program. It's been a huge differentiator for us to have something like that. Now, do all employees take it? Of course not. But that is a central resource that we can bring to bear for a franchise owner, which separates us from the pack from a lot of other independent businesses that don't have those resources. But the bottom line is you've got to be a good employer. You've got to create a good culture in your company, have an opportunity. We've created something called the Ladders Program, which in a nutshell shows an employee, this is your ability to grow with us. You start off as a technician, for example, you move to a senior tech, to a manager, general manager, and perhaps someday you can become your own franchise owner within Happiness Brands. We have a process for that. So there's various things that we bring to the table to help support a franchisee in finding, identifying, onboarding, retaining their employees, right? So that's a big, big focus for us. A lot changed during COVID, as we all know, with the labor market, right? First of all, you know, there was just a bunch of confusion, and it turned into subsequently prices going up to find employees, what we pay our employees. That's kind of starting to balance out a little bit more. We've been through a lot of ups and downs, as other businesses has, with that process. But what we want to do, Chris and Andrea, is provide a franchisee good support, help them identify, can we hire people for owners? Of course not. We're not managing their employees as a franchisor, right? We're not a joint employer, but we're going to give them resources and coaching and guidance and tools to help them make that process easier and resources to help them keep employees. And we feel as a franchisor, you know, we really do a good job of bringing a lot of those resources to our franchise owners. But the bottom line, as an owner, you got to be a team builder. You got to have the ability to create a good culture within your franchise. You have to have the ability to delegate, understand when you have to make some decisions that might be hard and remove certain people from your team, promote others. You're an employer, and that's what you sign up to be as a franchise owner. Now, in our models, you don't need a ton of employees, okay? But if you want to build an empire and scale, you're going to add people year over year, and you have to be prepared to do that. And that's something that's a big part of the coaching we provide to our franchisees.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's great. I mean, you think about, and you're talking about all the resources that you provide the franchisees, and that's what gives you sort of that ability to have that white glove processes to the home service space. And I think, you know, in addition to sort of all the staffing things you do, there's marketing support that's centralized. What does that look like, Eric? How do you help the franchisees market the business?
It's a great question. We talk an awful lot, Andrea, here. The only person bringing a dollar to the table in a relationship like this is your customer. So you need to get in front of them. You need to convert them. You need to provide a great experience, and you got to keep them. That's the beauty of home services and these membership models that we have. That's really what we specialize in here at Happiness Brands. And I'll digress for just a moment because we didn't touch on it. We have Lawn Doctor. We have Mosquito Hunters. We have Eco Maids. We have Elite Window Cleaning, which is in Canada, and we have Sparkle Squad, which is a mirror of Elite Window Cleaning here in the United States, which we just recently launched and added our first couple of new franchise owners here this past week. So we're very excited to see our newest brand take off. But all of these brands have different tasks, different types of employees, different goals and focuses. Obviously, we can touch on that a little bit if you'd like. But one thing that's consistent is how we advertise. There's kind of two different flavors or two elements of advertising in our model. There's more of what we call the ground game, and then there's the centralized media. And when these two things work in concert together, that's where the magic happens, right? So I'm not going to go into a ton of detail, but what I will say is on the ground game side of it, that's what you can control as an owner. Things like getting out your door hangers and your lawn signs and your local events that you're going to be doing, you know, your home shows, your farmers markets, the general boots on the ground, grassroots ground game elements, that can't be centralized. We have a store with all the materials and things that owners can use to promote themselves locally, but that's going to be on them and their team to get those things out. That gets those kind of local impressions. On our side of the house, we're managing all the digital advertising, whether it's paid search, it's Facebook or Instagram, it's retargeting, it's display, it's direct mail. These are hooks in the water. It's all about impressions. We talk about getting 7 impressions on the typical consumer before it's going to convert into a potential lead and sale, right? So those are going to be achieved in different ways. So owners are going to manage their local ground game. We're going to completely manage their centralized media. Owners pay into media. That media is pushed into the zip codes that they own as a franchisee. And then, of course, the closed loop system is we have the in-house sales center to provide that speed to lead in that immediacy, because that's paramount in our business models. These are not self-reflective purchases for most people. When I want my home cleaned or my lawn treated or my pest taken care of, I'm going to Google it. I'm going to see an ad pop up. I'm going to click. And then from there, what does that experience look like? Well, in our world, it's an immediate response. It's a professional quoting, getting them onboarded. And then from there, it's a local owner and team providing that white glove experience, getting them scheduled. And then we're providing that service and on that property within a day or two. That feels pretty good to me as a customer. That's what I would expect and what I would want. All of that work behind the scenes to get to that moment is critical. Building that brand awareness is critical. We feel really good about our process of kind of the balance of the local ground game element managed by the owner, but taking off of their plate, all of that digital advertising that we all need to do today to be successful. But so many people don't understand how to do it, how to invest correctly, what buttons to push, when to turn the dial up or down. We manage that for the owner to ensure we're getting good response, good impressions, good results, and good conversions. And that's really the secret sauce to our marketing aspect is, as an owner, control what you can locally. We're going to manage the top of the house and the centralized media for you and drive demand in that way.
Yeah, I think that's great because, you know, when we look at our clients at the Perfect Franchise, oftentimes they have been in more of a leadership executive role and they don't know how to do that digital piece. And that is a concern. They'll mention, I don't know how to market. I don't know how to do all these things that the kids are doing online with the, you know, digital marketing and SEO type work. And so really taking that in-house at Happiness, I think will, you know, be great for clients. And then really them focusing on the ground game. And a lot of that comes back to leveraging their employees that they have in the business to go out and do a lot of that ground game for them.
You're exactly right. I could not agree with you more. And that's a big part of this is we've created various models for owners who will have managers and then their technicians that have additional responsibilities in their ground game activities. And, you know, when you start to empower employees, guys, that's another great way to keep them. And keep them engaged and inspired and growing and controlling their destiny and their income, because they can bring on customers. They're managing routes. They're the face of the business to the customer, the neighborhoods they go into. So it's the little things you do on a stop, after a stop, while you're in a neighborhood, might take 5 or 10 extra minutes, but that can drive another 2 or 3 customers in that pocket. And that's how these businesses really scale. Once you build density and efficiency, that equates to profitability and recurring revenue, service, membership type model businesses, because you're limiting your windshield time. When you can have your employees charged with helping you kind of take that next step and empowering them to do that and recognizing them and rewarding them for that, boy, that's when things get really interesting and special for a local business owner, in my view.
Eric, let's talk about one of the most controversial words in franchising.
Ooh,
let's talk about semi-absentee.
Okay.
It's the holy grail in franchising. It's magical. We have a lot of clients that would love to keep their job, start a business on the side, put a manager in place to kind of bear the brunt of the 9-to-5. And, you know, some franchises say, yes, that's possible. Others franchises say, don't even think about it. You need to quit your job and start full time. So where does Happiness Brands fall into that? And if you do have semi-absentee opportunities under your umbrella. What does it look like in the real world to do that?
Such a good question, Chris. Really, truly. Like, I think about this a lot. We all do. And you're right. It's what everybody would want. We want the cake and we want to eat it, right? It's like, I've got a good job. I'm not going to lose my job. I don't think I'm going to. I'm making a good income. My spouse is happy. He or she may be working, may not be. We've got a couple of kids and life's pretty good, but life could change in 5 years or 7 years or 10 years. And I want to be set up for that. So why don't I just kind of dabble and start something on the side, and it's going to grow while I'm working my 50, 60 hour a week job that I have a lot of responsibility in. And my spouse isn't maybe super interested. Maybe he or she is, and we'll dabble a little bit too, but I'm just going to hire someone, good person, going to train them. They're going to run this thing for me. This thing's going to take off and grow. And 3 or 4 years from now, it'll be ready for me to step in and run it full time, kicking off the type of income that I would want it to. So I can then exit my job and I can be an entrepreneur for the rest of my life. That's the magical the path, right? That's the dream for everyone. I call it the Jenga puzzle of life. We're all trying to figure out how to kind of fit this in, get this started, keep what I have. I need cash flow coming into my home because I got bills to pay, but I want to set myself up for the future. And when you say some franchises say sure, others say no, it really depends on the model, the relationship to the consumer, the team you build, how you can scale that. What I will say is this: do we say no? Of course not. We're going to talk to a candidate and say, what is in your mind the definition of semi-absentee? We talk a lot about executive ownership roles. You're the owner, you're the CEO, you're working on your business day in and day out. We don't want you working in it. We're not seeking a Chuck in a truck or I don't mean this disrespectfully by any means, or a Bucket Bob or a side hustle Sam or Sally. This is a business. You're investing significant money, effort, time into growing an asset for yourself, for your family, build a legacy, create something of worth, something of value that you can monetize someday and either pass on and have your kids take it over and run it in their future, or maybe sell it, make a nice return. Getting a business to that point doesn't happen with part-time emphasis. Where we have part-time emphasis, we all know we get part-time results. So I say a lot there to say it depends on the model. It depends on the owner. If you're interested in starting a business and keeping your job, what does your job look like? Is it 50, 60, 70 hours a week in an office with a boss down the hall who's knocking on your door every 10 minutes saying, can I get those reports? Or do you work out of home? Do you drive around a lot? Are you mobile? Do you have a few days in the office, a few days not in the office, a sales job where you're nimble and flexible, you have a team around you, and maybe you're spending 20, 25 hours a week in your job, but you can move around as needed? That's a whole different story. I think a lot of folks in semi-absent think, well, I've got a 40, 50 hour a week job. I'll just hire somebody. Well, who's that going to be? Yeah, can they go through our training? Of course. Can you incentivize that person? Absolutely. Are they going to stay with you for 10 years? I don't know. You don't know. They may leave you in a year. They may leave you in 6 months because a better opportunity came along. So what do you do? Now, our response to that is, if you're going to have a manager run business, we want them to go through our processes, our training, and have responsibilities, but they need to have some skin in the game. They need to have some equity in this as well and be bought in to grow your business. No one cares about my asset, your asset, Chris, or your asset, Andrea, as much as the three of us. We're not going to put somebody in our place and say, make this happen for me. We can delegate, we can train, but we have to find people that are bought in that are going to want to grow up with us and not move on to something different or better in a quick fashion. So you have to, this is a long-winded way of me getting to a short answer. I'm sorry, Chris and Andrew, but I have passion behind this. It depends on the business. It depends on the owner, what they have in terms of other, obligations in their life, and who's going to be that key point person, and where is that person at in their life? So can you do it semi-absent? Absolutely. But it just depends on every scenario, every situation kind of lining up for you. So our strong preference here is an owner, operator, executive type. Again, working on the business doesn't mean you have to be in it 24/7, but you got to be close to it and be able to plug in as needed, because you can't depend on someone else to grow your dream for you.
Hmm. Yeah.
Great answer. Real answer. Yeah. It's never as simple as it sounds. Well, I got to tell you, Eric, I don't know if anybody explains franchising better than you do. Yeah. Certainly, I don't know anybody who explains the economies of scale benefits from a multi-concept franchisor better than you. So this has been fantastic. We're hitting up on our time limit here, so I'm going to hand it over to Andrea to take us across the finish line. But this has been fantastic. I can't thank you enough.
Yeah, well, no, Eric, I mean, we appreciate all the insights. I think when you think about home services and you mentioned they're not sexy, and I think our clients coming into them think also when we present them to them, this is not what I was thinking getting into this. And I think you really helped our listeners understand the differences of why you would want to go home services, some of the value and advantages of it, and especially being part of a larger franchisor and franchise family like Happiness Brands. I think that deepens really their understanding of it. And I know it did for Chris and I. And so for those of you listening, if you're considering franchising as a potential path to business ownership, remember, there's no one size fits all that suits everyone. Even so, there's certainly a franchise out there that's the perfect fit for you. To explore your options and find the perfect franchise match, visit theperfectfranchise.com. By clicking on Let's Talk, you can schedule time to speak with a consultant on the Perfect Franchise team. We look forward to connecting with you on our next episode. Until then, take care.